Well, just before we read the scriptures tonight, can I just say to you the privilege I have felt of being with you this week. As I said at the beginning, I think there are people I have known here for a long time, and there are people I've known for only a few days. I never feel as if I've known you a long time, and that's always a good sign. There's been a warmth among us, and it's really been a good week as far as I'm concerned, and I trust the Lord will indeed bless us as we leave tomorrow in the will of the Lord and go back to the everyday things, if I can use that expression, the everyday things of life once again. Thank you very much. It's been lovely being here, and thank you for your welcome. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 34, please. Deuteronomy chapter 34. And verse 1 was just quite a short chapter. There's only 12 verses. And we'll read the whole chapter. And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim, and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah, unto the utmost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zoar. And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over. So Moses the servant of the Lord died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab over against Bethpor. But no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, and did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand, and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Now, just over Joshua, just the next page, it should be, I think, chapter 1 and verse 7. Joshua 1 and 7. And it says, Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. And here's the title that the Lord gave to Moses, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Deuteronomy, please. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse And what, just the first two verses, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. And then over to the second last book of the Bible, please. Jude chapter, sorry, there only is one chapter. Jude verse 9. Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Dost not bring against him a railing or cut accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. And now into the New Testament, please. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 and verse 28. Now there's this same account, or at least the account of Matthew and the account of Mark of the same account here. We won't read them, we'll just read the one here in Luke. But just if you want to look at them perhaps later, Matthew's account is in chapter 17 and Mark's account is in Mark chapter 9. But we've got this one here in Luke chapter 9 and verse 28. It says, and it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter and John. That's the Lord Jesus we're speaking about when it says he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory, and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Now may the Lord indeed bless those verses to us. Okay, just in case I forget, I sometimes do that if I don't read them at the beginning. Can we just look at 2 Peter a minute? Sorry about that. 2 Peter. I would just like us to see the effect that this had on Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Verse 15. He says, moreover, I will endeavour that ye may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honour and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice, which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Now may the Lord indeed bless those verses to us. Now in case I don't get back to that in 2 Peter, it's just nice to have it there as a reference to what we're going to talk about tonight. But I'd just like to say one thing about verse 18 there. Peter says, this voice which came from heaven, he says, we heard. Peter, James and John, he says, we heard it. We heard the voice. But I think it's very telling, the end of this verse, he says, when we were with him on the Holy Mount. And you know, today we can hear the voice of God, not audibly the way it was done then, but we can hear the voice of God. And it's the same, you know, as when we are with Him, when we are in His presence, when we have fellowship with Him. Peter never forgot that day, no wonder. We heard when we were with Him in the Holy Mount. What a day that was for these three men who had been through such a lot. Perhaps you might say, especially Peter, but maybe that wouldn't be fair, but you know what I mean. But they were there. What a day that was, with Moses and Elijah and the Lord. No wonder when he gets to be an old man and writing this letter, the Spirit of God was have us know the effect that that had on them. We have not followed cunningly devised fables. We were with Him, and we heard the voice from heaven. Now, the last chapter of Deuteronomy is a very telling chapter. You might say, well, all chapters are telling, and that would be right in some sense or another, but this is a very telling chapter, especially if we've been looking at the life of Moses. And the first three verses are really about detail again. And you know, Moses, we didn't read the verses, but Moses had asked the Lord that he might be permitted to go into the land. And you know, the Lord told him again that he couldn't go, and not to mention it again. Such was his desire to see the land, and no wonder he had looked so long for it. And we saw last night why he didn't go, and we won't go over that again. But it says, Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo. All the lovely detail again here, to the top of Pisgah, that is over against Jericho. And as I just touched on last night, I just mentioned that this is a lovely ending to this verse here. It says, the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, a conducted tour, if I can use that expression, a conducted tour by the Lord himself. Now, of course there was disappointment here with Moses. We said that last night as well. Of course there was disappointment. He wanted to go in. He had really been through a lot trying to get in. And we saw his indiscretion last night. The Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan. It's lovely the way the names are all mentioned, and you know, you can just, and maybe it's not right to imagine, but you can, I think. You can just imagine Moses there. And he was being shown these places in the land individually, by the Lord. Naphtali and the land of Ephraim, Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea, and the south, and the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees, unto Zoar. And then after taking all that in, and I don't know how that took, and there's no need to speculate, because we're not told. You know, it's always a good thing if we're not told something in the Bible, just to understand that we don't need to know it. Because if we needed to know it, it would be there. And the Lord speaks to him then. He first of all shows him, and then he speaks to him. And he says to him, this is the land. He takes him back to what we would call Genesis 12 here. He takes him back. The Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham. It's a long time ago, a long time before. But the wonderful thing is this. When the Lord promises, it comes to pass. Sometimes through no fault of our own, we can make promises. And we can't keep them. Sometimes we can't avoid that, and sometimes we could have perhaps. But the great thing about the promises of the Lord is that they're all fulfilled. He's described nicely in the book of Titus, Titus chapter 1, as the God that cannot lie. What he says comes to pass. And there are promises for believers today, which are yet future. And we know not how long into the future. But we do know that they will come to pass. Way back there in John chapter 14, the Lord said to the disciples in the upper room, he says, I go to prepare a place for you. That was an inclusive word there, that word Jew. The word Jew in the New Testament sometimes is used as to individuals, and it's sometimes used to cut to a group, and it was used to accompany the disciples. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. No wonder we sing, what a day, glorious day, that will be. And as surely as these promises were fulfilled in the Old Testament, we can look forward to the blessed hope. The promises of God. This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. And then in verse 5 we've got a very short, it's very seldom you get an account of someone's death in the Bible. It doesn't happen a lot. But we've got it with Moses. And it's all very simple, really, if I can use that. It says, so Moses, and here's this lovely title, Moses the servant of the Lord died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And then there's this marvellous verse again. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Bethpor. But no man knoweth of his sepulchre until this day. God buried Moses. There's no headstone. There's no remembrance. There's nobody knows. Do you ever wonder why that was that God buried him? Can you imagine the shrine that could have been turned into? The burial place of Moses. It could have been turned into a shrine that would have attracted millions across the world to see where Moses was buried. Maybe that's not the only reason. God buried him in a valley. In the land of Moab, over against Bethpor, and no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day. That's why I read in the Epistle of Jude, as we know Moses was mentioned in the Epistle of Jude, and there was a contesting about the body of Moses. And there's been much speculation about that. But we'll suffice tonight, I think, with the great fact that God buried him. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And then we've got the weeping of the people. The children of Israel wept for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days. So the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. We're not told, but you know, as the people heard of the death of Moses, and I wonder if they thought back, you know, to all the all the things that Moses had been through. People tend to do that at funerals, don't they? They tend to go back over them. If some of them had, they maybe didn't say it at all, but maybe thought it. Maybe they just thought they might have treated them a wee bit better. And not just been on it all the time, sometimes things get tough. But there we are, there was weeping over Moses, and no wonder. But of course, Moses had to be replaced. That's what the Apostle Paul was doing with Timothy. He was preparing a younger man to take over once he had gone. And that's what Peter was doing as well, because I read that tonight, because he was encouraging them to remember things after his decease. Peter was one of these men that didn't think the work stopped when he died. He knew the work had to go on, and you know, it's still the same. It's the same in our day. As the generation before us gets older, the shoes need to be filled. That's no small thing. That's a thing that we need to pray about, I would suggest. We can all look back to godly men and godly women. Sometimes it's only godly men that are mentioned. It's a pity that, because I tell you, I think the number of godly women that, older women that I have known in my lifetime, who have been encouragers and helpers, that would sit down beside you and just maybe put their arm around you, just to encourage you a bit. Godly brethren and godly sisters who have gone on before. But you see, the work still goes on, the work needs done. Work for God. And that's not a thing, of course, that's entered into lightly. It's just not an idea that comes into our head that that's what we should be doing. That's a thing that needs to be taken to the Lord seriously, and maybe for a long time. But there needs to be progression. And of course, older men need to hand it over too. There's that. But younger men and younger sisters need to be there to fill the breach of those who have gone. And of course, there was Joshua. And here we've got him here. Verse 9. And Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands upon him. There's nothing to do with anything in Moses' hands, of course. That's just what happened before the Spirit of God was sent on the day of Pentecost. The laying on of hands was a thing that was used in the Old Testament, and right indeed, up to the early chapters of Acts. Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him, as did as the Lord commanded Moses. And there's a lovely epitaph here in verse 10. There arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. And we've got an account of that in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 11. Whom the Lord knew face to face. And then, just quite quickly, just over to Joshua chapter 1 and verse 7. Verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. The reason I'm reading this verse, I hope it comes apparent to you in a second. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. But you see, that comes after this verse, verse 7 here. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. And then here's the bit here. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. There's another verse that says, we've not to add anything to it, or take anything from it. And of course, as we saw last night, Moses did add something to what he was told. He did something different to what he was told. He was told to speak to the rock and he hit it twice. He added to it. And of course we've got this lesson here that Moses had to learn. And of course we have to learn as well. Now we go from the disappointment of Moses in this last chapter of Deuteronomy. And I would just like us to have a look, if we could now please, into Luke's Gospel, chapter 9. And I'm not going to be long with that. I would just like us to see it tonight for a minute or two. Sorry, I'm talking about Luke chapter 9. It's Luke chapter 7, isn't it? Luke chapter 9, sorry, 28. Luke chapter 9 and verse 28. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. Do you ever wonder what it must have been like to hear the Lord praying? We've got an idea, but we'll have you more than an idea. We've got the prayer that the Lord prayed in John chapter 17, praying to his Father in heaven. But here we have, and they go up, and they took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And we're told it's while he was praying that his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. What a sight that must have been. And of course, more than that, verse 30. Behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias. Two men who were not alive at the same time. Generations apart. And here they are. And of course, we know about Elijah, he went to heaven, we're told, in a chariot of fire. We're told that Enoch was not found, for God took him. We're told Elijah went in a chariot of fire. And we've got Moses here and Elias. And it says beautifully, who appeared in glory. And isn't it interesting what they were speaking about and spake of his deceased, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Now we're not told what the conversation was, but isn't it good what they were talking about? They were talking about the cross. They were talking about the death of the Lord Jesus. Spake of his deceased. And you see the word which he should accomplish. That's what he came into the world to do. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. They speak of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. And then there's a strange thing. Peter and David were with him, were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And then, of course, Peter speaks rather inadvisedly here, and it's sometimes said, Peter said unto him, to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. You see, Peter would have liked just to have stayed there a while. Peter would like just to have stayed there a while. But of course, that's not what this was for at all. There was no staying here, there was something better on before. While he thus spake, there came a cloud. It isn't something as to say what kind of cloud this was. I would just take it that was a cloud. Simple as that. There was a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. Just one thing about Moses and Elijah here, talking with Peter, James and John, and talking with the Lord. You know, people would tell us that when we get to the end of life, that's all there is. Nothing there, nothing else. 3 score years and 10 and then nothing else. Here we've got an account of things unseen, except read them in the scriptures. It's a wonderful thing to be able to see what God has written. There came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And here we have the voice. There came a voice, the voice of many waters. There came a voice. What a voice. Saying, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him. This is my beloved Son. Hear him." And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close and told no man of those days, in those days, any of these things which they had seen. But then Peter does account for us, and we've read that in his epistle. But isn't it wonderful when you can look back in those accounts of God's movements and God working, and how he uses men and uses women to carry out his will. And I'm sure it encourages all of us. Encourages all of us when we see the hand of God in this world of ours. And of course that continues in our day. There is a plan that is still being worked out. Someone was saying in the newspaper just the other day that they thought things in the world were getting completely out of control. And to be fair, sometimes you could sympathise with them for thinking that. But we know nothing. Nothing is out of control. God is still on the throne. And I trust that through these simple stories, and I think simple they have been, that we might all have been encouraged, perhaps challenged, perhaps looking at them in a bit more detail in our own time. And I do trust the Lord will bless us, as in the morning, if the Lord will. And of course it's only if the Lord will. If the Lord will, when we get back home, we might look at these things in the Word of God for ourselves in a much deeper way. Let's have a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we do give thee thanks again for these lovely moments we can spend round the Word of God. We thank thee for the privilege of being here. We give thee thanks for fellowship with each other and fellowship with the Father. We thank thee for these quiet moments, and we would ask thy blessing to be upon us and everything that has been said this week. We would pray for the meeting downstairs too with Ivan. We give thee thanks for the work he has put in with the children there, and ask thy blessing to be upon him. And we would pray for the children again. How good it is to hear them and see them and enjoy time with them. And we do trust that something might have been done in their life, that they might grow into men and women of God. We thank thee for this week. We would commend ourselves to thee for the remainder of it. And as we would take our leave of each other in thy will tomorrow, we would ask that as travelling is done, that we might be taken to our destinations in safety. We give thee thanks again and ask for thy blessing in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.